to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The three words that stuck out to me is the first part of the verse, where it says, "But therefore, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer." That's what I want to talk about this morning. In prison, but prayer. Father, I pray today for your help, for your guidance, for fresh anointing, a fresh touch. I pray, God, you give me, Lord, more wisdom that I surely don't have but desperately need. I pray, God, you give that to me today. I pray, God, you guide my actions and my footsteps and all that I do. I pray, and ask God, you be the great orchestrator of each and everything that takes place. I pray, God, you speak directly to the hearts of the people. And I pray, God, we respond by saying, yes, Lord, yes. And with that, Father, we'll thank you. I pray, God, for that one that may be bogged down but needs a little bit of breather. I pray, God, you come by and breathe upon them and give them that extra strength that they need. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Now take the word of God and do inside of us what we need, and we'll thank you. Lord, if I left anything out, yep, take care of that too. For it's in your son's name we pray. Not weak Jesus, no sir, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. The Bible says, prison, but prayer. In our midweek Midwest Baptist Fellowship meeting this past Tuesday, Brother Brent Carm preached from these scriptures, and when he read that verse here in verse 5, it just stuck out to me. The Bible says here, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer. And that means something is changing here. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. He was in prison, but somebody was praying. Amen. Perhaps you and I might be in a prison this morning, and what we need is somebody to pray. I wonder if we will be that person that intercedes on behalf of someone else that might be in a prison. Or perhaps, my dear friends, we'll be that person that cries out to the church and say, listen, I'm in a prison and I need me some prayer. I tell you what, when I get an inbox or I get a text message or I get something on some other way of communication and somebody says, preacher, I need you to pray. My dear friends, the first thing I do is pray. I'm interceding on their behalf. And my dear friends, if you and I are going to be freed from the prisons that may have a hold of our lives this morning, we need somebody to pray and talk to God on our behalf along with our prayers as well. Now, the first thing we're going to see here is what's taking place. We go back to verse number 1, the Bible says this. Now, about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. That word vex means to harm, to do evil, or to do hurt. Here you have King Herod, and he decides, my friends, he wants to hurt the church. He wants to harm the church. Now, who is the church? Well, that's the ecclesia. What is the ecclesia? That is the body of believers. We here are the church. Now, we are meeting in a church building, but we ourselves are the church. And by the way, one person is not the church. The Bible says the church is a body of believers. Believers. It's when we come together, my dear friends. We are the church of the living God. But we have an enemy today that's attacking the church. He's attacking the people of God and don't want to even name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the same thing that was happening here in this particular time. And the Bible says that Herod, he vexed, the Bible says, certain of the church. Now watch that. Certain. That means not all the church, but certain ones of the church. My dear enemy, my dear friend, when you see this, our enemy, when you look at this, he wants to attack certain people that are in the body of Christ and a part of the church. Well, why is that? Because if he can attack certain individuals, it will affect the rest of the body. For example, when you get a headache, where's the ache at? It's in your head. But what does it affect? The whole body. Because all of a sudden, my dear friends, you get a headache, then all of a sudden you're exhausted, you might get irritable, a lot of things affect your emotions, things begin to happen. And so therefore, my friends, the enemy wants to attack certain ones that are in the body of Christ. He's going to attack that daddy, because the Bible says that the father, the husband, is supposed to be the head of his home. Well, my dear friends, if you attack the head of a home, my friends, it will affect the body. And a lot of us that are here this morning are living illustrations and examples because we came from homes perhaps where our fathers were attacked by the enemy and it affected us in certain ways in our life. We attacked our mom and it affected us in certain ways in our life. My friends, the enemy wants to attack us and to hurt certain ones because it will affect the rest of the body. We keep on reading. The Bible says, verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now, you remember, the inner circle of Jesus was James, John, and who? Peter. Well, guess what? Herod has grabbed the hold of James, and he has killed him with the sword. He's gotten one of the inner circle, and he decides, you know what? I'm not going to go after the rest of them. The Bible says in verse number 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. The Bible says, then were the days of unleavened bread. But the Bible shows us that when he took Peter, that word take, that means to catch him. And by an example, the enemy wants to catch us. He wants to grab a hold of us. And he says, I've got James, he's dead. Well, now I'm going after Peter. And the Bible says he gets Peter, verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and the Bible says delivered him to four accordions of soldiers. That word accordions means a squad or four soldiers. Time four means at least 16 soldiers were there guarding Peter. The Bible goes on to say this, my friends. He did this intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Ain't he a hypocrite? He says, we're going to hold off. We ain't going to kill him yet. We're going to wait until after Easter. The word Easter here refers to the Passover that they would celebrate. It's a religious time of the year for them. We'll wait till we're done with church. Yeah. Nobody here been like that. But you know some folks that said, I can't wait till I get out of church. I'm going to take care of the situation when I get home. I'm going to let them have it. As soon as we're done worshiping the Lord and exalting him, praising him, and singing his songs of Zion, yep. I'm going to take care of this situation. Herod says, you know what? We're going to keep him over. And he said, we're going to wait till after the religious time, and then we're going to kill Peter. But watch this. This is what I want to get to. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The first thing we see, my dear friends, is the prison. The Bible says in verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept or guarded in prison. That word prison means like a cage or a hold. And I thought to myself, what an illustration, what an example of what the enemy does to us. He grabs a hold of us, and then he puts us like in a cage. And then, my dear friends, while we're in that cage, he's not trying to help us nor to encourage us, but he wants to break us and to cause us to bend and to fall apart. Let me ask you this morning, what has you in a prison? Perhaps, my dear friends, you might be in a mind prison. Your mind's in prison. I mean, you know what the word says. But yet your mind is bogged down by the pressures that you're facing in your life. And one of the heaviest pressures we face oftentimes is in the area, and you know it, finance. Somebody said, man, if I had some money, it'd take care of all my problems. So no, it's just money. But hold on a second. Think about a second. If you got NIPSCO problems, if you had some money, that'd take care of that. If you got food problems, if you had some money, that'd take care of that. If you've got some hospital bill problems, well, if you have some money, that will take care of that. If you've got some school loans, well, if you have some money, that will take care of that. If your car is falling apart, well, if you have some money, that will take care of that. You follow what I'm saying, my dear friends? So a lot of times, that financial pressure will also, my friends, put us in a mindset or in a mind prison. And all of a sudden, that's all we can think about. It's hard to worship when your mind is thinking about all the financial pressures that you're facing or family issues that you're facing. It's hard to exalt the name of Jesus Christ when your mind is in a prison. And the devil wants to keep our minds in a prison. He wants to be free. He wants to be broke down and bent over and beat up by the enemy. But we've got a God that wants to set us and to free us out of prison. My dear friends, some of us have heart prisons. Your heart was broken. You was wounded. You were hurt. And the hurt was real. It was not imaginary. It was a real hurt. But now, because your heart is in prison, you've got bars around it. So ain't nobody getting in here. Ain't no way. The last time I stepped out of that bar, behind those bars, I let my heart hang out here. And all of a sudden, there were folks come by, and they were sticking my heart, and sticking my heart, and hurting my heart, and wounding my heart. You know what? I'm going to keep my heart in prison. You just tell me outside of my heart, but you're not getting on the inside of my heart. And therefore, my dear friends, it's hard to have fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ. It's hard, my dear friends, to have relationships with other individuals because our heart is in prison. Sometimes, my dear friends, we are in a prison of unforgiveness, a prison of bitterness, a prison of anger. You name it, my friends, we're in that prison.
Amen.
But we've got a God that wants to help us. So we move, my dear friends, from the prison. And now we get to the prayer. The Bible says here, he was kept in prison, but prayer. And that's the part that stuck out to me, but prayer. Yes, he was locked up. Yes, he was shackled. Soldiers were all around him, but prayer. Somebody says, prayer's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's big time, baby. My dear friends, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. The Bible says to ask, to seek, and to knock, my friends. It's big time. But the enemy don't want you to pray. So I've been praying a long time. Nothing's been happening. And then we go through the motions of prayer. My dear friends, the Bible says, but prayer. But prayer. Watch this. The first thing we see about this prayer, it was made without ceasing. So they just didn't stop. They kept praying. Well, that's nice from the outside. But what does this word actually mean in itself? The word without ceasing. It's two words. I mean, one Greek word, which means to be intent. It means to be a fervent, earnest. In other words, it wasn't one of those, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, Lord, my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray, Lord, my soul to take. Now, not one of them type of prayers. It was earnest prayer, fervent prayer. To me, it reminds me of when Jesus was in the garden praying, and he said the sweat was like drops of blood. That's earnest, fervent prayer. When's the last time? Now, I'm not talking about just trying to get down there and I'm going to work up my emotions. No, I mean, you all of a sudden, you got down there on your knees or you sitting in your chair or whatever the mold that you might have been in when you got ready to pray. But all of a sudden, my friends, the first word that came out of your lips, all of a sudden, you had tears coming down your eyes. And all of a sudden, my dear friends, you felt the warmth on the inside. And all of a sudden, you started not the prayer that's already written out in your mind. But all of a sudden, my friends, all of a sudden, the words come out of your lips. And you're astounded by the things you're saying as you're crying out to God. My dear friends, I'm talking about earnest prayer. I'm talking about intense prayer. I'm talking about prayer, my friends, that reaches the throne of heaven itself.
Yeah.
What kind of prayer are we praying? The Bible says here that they were praying without ceasing. It was fervent. It was earnest prayers that they were praying. And who was doing this praying? The Bible tells us of the church. Without ceasing of the church, they were praying.
Amen.
For Peter. Church, we got to pray for each other.
Amen.
Right now, Miss Pearl's in the hospital, and the doctors already said that they don't want to do the ablation. They don't want to do that. They feel like it's too risky. They don't want to do some other things either. And he said, and basically, he said, there's nothing else we can do about the situation but prayer.
Amen.
I like what Cindy told me. She said he couldn't say that because he was a doctor. He couldn't add that part in there. She said, well, we pray. We talk to God about it. And he knows how to cause things to begin to beat the right way for Miss Pearl like they need to beat. But by the way, she said she's fine. Like I already told you earlier, she said she's fine, but we ain't fine. Okay? We want Miss Pearl here. Amen? But you know what? The one great thing I have is this, though. If the Lord were to take her home to be with him, I do know this. The Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, my friends, hey, she's going to a better place than this place. Hallelujah. But I want to hear. So that's my prayer. My prayer is that God just works out the whole thing and that she's not in and out of AFib, but it's right where it needs to be at. Who are you saying, preacher? Prayer. Prayer. But see, we got family members that are in prison. All types of prisons. And my dear friends, we need to come together as a body of believers and begin to pray and cry to God on their behalf.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look down at verse number 25. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 25. Look what the Bible says about this thing about caring for one another. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 25. The Bible says that there should be no schism or division or split in the body. But that the members, watch it, should have the same care one for another. Watch this. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Folks, what you have is unity and not division. He says, no, we don't want those schisms, those divisions, and those splits. But you know what? Care for one another. That word care here means to care for, to be caring for. But then watch this, that word suffer means to experience pain. In other words, when one of us is hurting, we all should be hurting.
Amen.
Huh? Now, well, you know, they'll be all right again. I mean, going by, it ain't stopping at my house. I'm fine. No, listen. If you hurt your finger or you stub your toe, man, the whole thing hurt, and the whole body knows it. The whole body, your whole body says, "Somebody do something. Get me some Tylenol. Give me some IVs. Give me something." I mean, that pain is hurting me, and the whole body is together crying out, "Hey, give us something!" You know what? We as a body of believers need to be crying out on behalf of others. Matter of fact, look with me over to Romans 15 and verse number 30. Romans 15, verse number 30. Look what Paul said to the church about his situation. That's Romans 15 and verse number 30. The Bible says this in Romans 15, verse 30. The Bible says, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit." Watch what he says. "That you strive together with me." In what, Paul? "In your prayers to God." For who? For me. That word, those words, strive together with, it means to be a partner. Paul says, I want you to be a partner with me in my prayer as you pray for me. I want you to unite with me. Watch this. And this is the reason why. Verse 31. "That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be" what?
Refreshed.
Ain't it refreshing when you pray together with other believers and pray for other folks going through stuff, and all of a sudden they get victory? And isn't that refreshing?
Amen.
I mean, last week, man, it was awesome. I mean, each service, each night, God was speaking to us. God was helping us. There was Sunday night. The folks were standing up around here giving true, not testimonies.
Yeah.
Testimonies. That's a big difference. Okay? Giving testimonies. I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends. It stirred my heart. It blessed my soul. My dear friends, you and I need to unite together and pray for each other. We find ourselves in a prison. Whew. Watch this. Go back with me over there to Acts. So we see they were praying. And then we see, my friends, the last thing we see here is the powerful results. Verse 6. The Bible says, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined." I like that part. In the prison. I like when God shines a light in your prison. Amen. He goes on to say, "And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. Get up, man." And the Bible says, "And his chains," oh my soul, "and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. and said to him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. He goes on to say, and he went out and followed him and wished not or knew not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming. You ever had God bless you so good? It seems like it's a dream. This can't be real. Is this really happening? He goes on to say this, my dear friends. And the Bible says, when they were past the first and the second war, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Hallelujah. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angels departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, oh my goodness, now I know of a surety that the Lord have sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Man, they was expecting to kill me. Yeah. Like they did James. But God has delivered me from my prison. Watch this. The Bible says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. That's the Gospel of Mark. This is Mark's. This is their place. The Bible says, where many were gathered together, what? Praying. Watch this. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. Wait a minute. I'm at the door. I'm trying to get in that side. She said, no, it was Peter. The Bible says she opened not the gate for what?
Gladness.
That ever happened to you? You know something's really happened, and you just take off running to go tell somebody, but wait a minute. Slow down. Somebody needs to come inside. Amen. He's on the outside. She runs, the Bible says, for gladness. But she ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Here we go. And they said to her, thou art mad. And the word mad here don't mean angry. The word mad here means cray cray. Okay. You crazy, you crazy girl. It means to be a maniac, to rave as a maniac. You've lost your mind. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. She said, no, it's Peter. It's Peter, y'all. It's Peter. You crazy. Stephen, vision. Basically couldn't see much at all. Big old letters. Them letters at first that were about this big. Big letters like this. And Stephen put his eye on the paper like this. Still couldn't see. That's why he'd been homeschooled. Then one day we're sitting in church. He's sitting there with his Bible. And his mama was like, what are you doing? He's reading. She's like, he can't read that. What does it say? And he started reading it. Yeah. Yes! But now some folks, it was this, it was that.
God.
That was God, baby.
Amen.
My dear friends, now he's ready to go back to school, but he said he's going to wait till next week. He's going to chill at the house right now. But nonetheless, my dear friends, I mean, God intervened on his behalf. I can't remember how many times folks have cried to God and God answered prayer. I think about those who've been saved and lives changed.
Amen.
Because the church began to pray. Some of us that's here in this room right now are results of prayer. Somebody got together and prayed, and then God brought us to himself. And then sometimes we're in shock. Well, they're here, but for how long?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's real yet. You pray for somebody to get saved, and they get saved. You're like, well, I hope they got saved. Well, did you not pray for that? Well, yeah, but still, I'm not, you don't believe? Well, no, why is he don't believe? I'm just saying, are you skeptical? No, I'm not skeptical either. What are you trying to say? The Bible says here, watch it, y'all. Watch it. Verse 15. Then they said, it is this angel. Girl, you're seeing an angel. But Peter continued knocking. Can you hear? Let me in before they come out here and get me. I mean, he started getting in the house. Y'all do remember he didn't escape from prison, right? Okay. I mean, let me in the house. Amen. He's out there steadily banging on the door. He's knocking. And finally, when they opened the door and saw him, the Bible says they were what? Woo! They was astonished. Oh, my goodness. It's Peter. Well, didn't y'all pray for Peter? Yeah, but I mean, it's Peter. At one time, he was in a prison.
Amen.
But some folks got together and they prayed. And then we see the powerful results. He's no longer in prison. We need the body of believers, the body of Christ, to begin to pray more fervently for one another. Look what the Bible says over here. We're done. Look what the Bible says over in James chapter 5. Look at James chapter number 5. Look what the Bible says over here. James 5 and verse number 15. The Bible says in James 5 verse 15. And the prayer, James 5 verse 15. And the prayer of faith. Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say the prayer of unbelief. The prayer of, you know, maybe, no. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise them up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. And here it is, baby. Pray. For who? One for another. And notice what it says. That you may be healed. That you may be cured. That you may be whole. The effectual. Oh, baby. The effectual fervent prayer of a right. Righteous man availeth much. Oh. Well, maybe we got a problem here. No, baby. That fits you.
Amen.
Because that word righteous there means those who've been justified.
Yeah.
Those who've been redeemed, blood bought. If you're saved and you know Christ is your Savior, that means you. That's what that means. It's not talking about a person who has no sin. Because there's nobody on earth. The only people who don't have any sin, they're up there. Okay. All right. They're going to heaven already. But my friends, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What are you saying, preacher? My dear friends, cry out to God. And then my friends, have that fervent prayer. Have that effectual fervent prayer. By the way, that word effectual fervent means to be active. So could there be, Jody, an inactive prayer? Mm-hmm. Remember the two guys that went up? The Pharisee, he prayed. He said, Lord, thank you that I'm not like, you know, bread. You know, I mean, he got issues. He had all kinds of problems. And I mean, the Pharisee came and was saw. That's how he prayed. That was an ineffective prayer.
Amen.
But the other guy, he wouldn't even look up. He said, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, have mercy. Have compassion on me. Whew. The Bible says, my friends, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means to have force, to prevail. I don't know about y'all, but I want that prevailing faith. I want that prayer, my dear friends, that has force behind it. So how's that happen, preacher? Because you know he says here, it's a prayer of faith, right? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Oh, here we go. Read your Bible. No, don't just read it, man. Get inside of it. More than that, let it get inside of you. Then all of a sudden, my dear friends, you actually believe the verse where it says that there's nothing that's impossible with God.
Amen.
It don't matter what you're facing. We've got a God that knows how to bring victory. So, preacher, you don't have no problem like that. Yes, I do. I got some right now, okay? If you can help me with them, I'll tell you about it. But I know who can take care of it. That's my Heavenly Father. Let's go back. We're done. The Bible says over here back in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. That's a key there. That's what you pray to. Unto God for him. They weren't praying for themselves at this particular moment. They were praying for Peter. I got two questions. We're done. The first question is this. What prison are we facing this morning? What prison are we facing this morning? The second question is this, and this is very important. Do we truly want freedom? Do we truly want freedom? Because sometimes we say we want freedom, but our actions show differently. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, I want to be more healthy. Oh, I want to be more healthy. Where you driving to? Big Daddy's. But I want to be more healthy. Listen, how bad do you really want it? How bad? God, tell you what, we want it bad enough. God's going to help us, friends. And last, it's a simple statement. Let's ask God, and here's a key word I'm going to use, and expect powerful results. And expect powerful results. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the precious word, Father, and just a little simple message, a little simple thought. But I believe it has some profound truths in it. And Father, I pray, God, today that if there's anyone here that needs to pray, let's switch this thing up. Maybe we need to pray for somebody that we know and love and care for that's in a prison. Oh, God, I pray that we'd come and talk to you about that person and talk to you and pray to you and ask you for deliverance. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Perhaps, God, there's somebody here today that says, you know what, I'm in a prison and I want deliverance. I want to have freedom. I'm tired of being bitter. I'm tired of having an unforgiving spirit. I'm tired of all this anger that I have all bottled up on the inside. I need deliverance. Oh, freedom. I pray, God, they come. Or perhaps, God, that somebody wants to come today and say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For bringing me out of that prison I was in. I'm free. Free. And they just want to come and say thank you. I pray they come. Father, whatever the needs are this morning, there's somebody here that's lost, needs to be saved. But whatever the needs are this morning, I pray, God, we come. And yes, get the help that we need from the Master. We love you. We've heard the song. We've heard the sermon. And now it is time to respond. For your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.